podcast is generously brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok.
Comments made on the Saratok Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Saratok Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey guys, welcome to the latest edition of The Rundown here on the Saratok Podcast Network. My name is AZ and I'm here with
JDR. What is going on?
And we got a bunch of sports coming up for you guys, a bunch of information of things that are going on right now. But first, we want to talk about our sponsor. So JDR's got the suggestion of the week, or the book that we like to recommend for this week, that it's actually from one of our listeners. So thank you for the submission, and JDR's got that for you guys.
Well, the book that was recommended to us is called Black Sun Rising, and it's actually part of the Cold Fire Trilogy, and it's written by C.S. Friedman. And what the book is about, it's a fantasy novel about citizens that live in a fictitious planet, and they're trying to stop the sorcerers from using and manipulating this force that is either light or dark. And the church that runs the planet there doesn't like how they manipulate the dark, and the dark seems to be overpowering the rest of the light. So a group of four characters come together to try and stop it. So it looks like it's going to be definitely one of those books that you won't want to put down. And I'm guessing it's got to be really good because it's part of a trilogy. So if you like fantasy novels like that, especially that they're part of a trilogy or a big series like that, then this one seems to be like the one that you want to pick up. So if you want to check it out, or any other book that's on Audible, then you should definitely hit up the Audible podcast at www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok to get your free 1 month trial of it. I highly recommend it. So get on it. Get on that and get it.
Get on it and get it. That's how it goes. So right there. Again, thanks a lot for the suggestion, and keep them coming in. And we'll be glad to share them with everybody. We have quite a week. We've had quite a week of sports happenings in the NBA and also in the NHL. And again, we like to kind of kick it off here with the NBA, things that are happening. We are 1 week down, and quite a bit of teams already have been eliminated, already looking into the second round. And you know, also some big stories that are coming out, especially out of Dallas. What do you think about that Rajon Rondo situation there in Dallas, JDR?
It's unfortunate because Rajon Rondo was one of the guys that I thought was going to be the biggest splash in the NBA. Even when he was a part of the team there with the Boston Celtics and the Big Three era with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen, I really thought he was that guy that would be elevating the Celtics when these guys moved on. And when he left the Celtics, I remember that a lot of teams said they wanted him. But I also recall that a lot of people said that this guy had a really bad attitude and there was definitely something off about him, and he wasn't the price catch that he appeared to be. And I'm sad to see that that's come to fruition now.
Yeah. And if you guys have not seen what's going on with this or up to date with this series and with the Dallas Mavericks, Rajon Rondo has been separated from the team. He does have an injury. He will not be able to come back this year, but he has also been separated from the team. So they don't expect him back next year. Or as Rick Carlisle said, he doesn't expect to see him in a Mavericks uniform anymore. So big, big bust. You want to put it on the same level as the Lamar Odom situation with the Mavericks, but this might be even bigger for the amount of players and amount of money they gave up for this and really planning towards the future. And he's not going to be around because he's a restricted free agent this summer. So it's expected that he goes probably to the Lakers, don't you think?
That's what everybody seems to be thinking, is that the Lakers are primed to get him. I'm very interested to see how he and Kobe Bryant would work together, since Kobe Bryant is supposed to be back by next season. And that's another guy that seems to have a very, shall we say, volatile relationship with certain superstars that he ends up playing with. So it's very interesting. Also, we should keep in mind that LeBron James's contract was a 2-year contract, and we're going to hit the end of the first one coming up. However, at the end of that one, he has the option to opt out of it. And the Lakers was a team that he considered going to. So it's going to get very interesting. Could we see the rebirth of the big three again? Could you picture seeing Kobe Bryant, Rajon Rondo, and LeBron James as Lakers?
No, I can't. I don't think that that would happen. Yeah, egos. I don't see LeBron leaving. Well, I mean, I didn't see LeBron leaving Miami, and he did. So I don't know about that one. That one is going to be interesting, but definitely Rondo is getting thrown into that mix of free agents in the summer. And whoever picks them up, if they can get them focused, they get a good player and someone that's a proven champion. He's just not a proven team player.
Now, it's a shame that it had to work out this way because the Mavericks gave up so much just to get him in their uniform and it's completely backfired. The only good thing that's come of it, it's a rare case where you have addition by subtraction. They're playing a lot better without him. And that's definitely coming across in Game 3 and Game 4.
Yeah. And you know, that was the case. I mean, the Mavericks really started going down and started just falling down the Western Conference whenever they made that trade. It just didn't seem to help them get over the top. If anything, it just catapulted them down. And that was odd to see. And the only other player you saw that with was with Josh Smith. Whenever the Detroit Pistons cut ties with him, the Detroit Pistons started winning. Now, Josh Smith has found something good. And I think a good place for him there with the Rockets. I don't know if he's going to be around for the long term, but, you know, he found something good there and it kind of worked out for both sides. We'll see what happens with Rondo. Now, another big story coming out, the Cavs did away with the Boston Celtics with the sweep. I was surprised with Boston and I thought it was going to be more of a lopsided affair, but they did give them some good games there in certain times. But it was just, you know, with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James and Kevin Love, it was too much, you know. And like I said, one of the biggest stories coming out is Kevin Love is out with the dislocated shoulder. And they already came out and said that he's out for the whole series, the whole second round series. Isn't that kind of, I don't know, man, that seems kind of fishy to me. That was kind of quick. To say, oh, he's out for the whole series.
And the commentators that were calling the game knew it was bad. I still have a bit of sight left, so I got to see when it happened. Kevin Love immediately left the court, and he didn't go to the bench, to the sidelines. He was gone to the back of the locker rooms, and the way he was holding his arm, we just knew it wasn't good. And you didn't need to have sight for it, because the commentators kept saying, that is not good. They instantly knew immediately how the way he got up and the way he was out of there and the way in which he was holding his arm, that it was very serious. I don't think anybody expected it to be this bad, but it's unfortunate that it ended up that way. And of course, there's controversies as to how this even happened. Kevin Love saying that it was deliberate, that it was overkill, and now he's going to be possibly out for the playoffs now. Who knows, but he's definitely upset.
Yeah, definitely for the next series is what they said, but after ligament tear, which is what they're saying, like it was completely taken off of its socket and, you know, the joint, there's some issues there and as well as ligament tear. So there's going to be surgery performed. So who knows? I mean, they're saying one series, but like you said, it might be completely out for the rest of the playoffs. Now the Cavs are going to play the Bulls in the second round, which LeBron versus the Bulls in any jersey is always quite a series. I don't think a lot of the Bulls players really take kindly to LeBron, and the Bulls have had his number, maybe not beating him in the series, but in the playoffs, but they've done well against them. So not going to be a pushover, but I think, and this is AZ's bold prediction of the week. We should do that. I think the Bulls are going to take out the Cavs.
Whoa.
I think the Bulls are playing. They got individuals who have a lot more experience, have been playing together a lot longer, and just want it more. I think the Cavs are just trying to figure themselves out right now. I think you know what you're going to get from LeBron, but Kyrie Irving is trying to find his spot, and he knows he can be a number one. Without Kevin Love, you might not lose a lot because he wasn't playing at a high level towards the end of the games and things like that. But I think he's very important to that offense. And without him, they're going to miss him more than they think they are. And that's why ultimately I'm saying the Bulls are going to take that series.
Wow. I'm pretty speechless to hear that. I'm certainly rooting for the Bulls. I've stated that I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan, which is a big reason why I didn't root for the Heat when he was a member of that team. Though I do like Dwayne Wade a lot. I'm rooting for the Bulls in that series. But another injury that we have to contend with is Mike Conley from the Grizzlies. Now, that one isn't as severe as Kevin Love's, though he is going to require surgery. He took a nasty hit to the face. And after the surgery, if he's even going to be able to play in the next round, he's going to be wearing a mask for a while.
Yeah.
And I always get nervous when these players have to don the face masks while they're playing, because unfortunately, it's a contact sport. That may as well be a target. Incidentally or not, you can plan for these sort of things, and there's no guarantee that nobody's going to end up hitting you again. Just like when Westbrook from the Thunder had the same kind of mask, it always made me nervous to watch him play. I was amazed that he played so well with that mask on. So the Grizzlies will need him back, because they're going to face off against the Warriors, and you need all the pieces that you can get when you go against that team. They're just a powerhouse. They've completely just swept, and I don't see anybody putting a stop to them just yet. So I definitely think Memphis is definitely itching to get him back in there.
Yeah, that's going to be a big time loss for the Grizzlies if he has to be out for any games that are coming up for them. So the other one that, and it's not an injury, definitely impressed with the play of the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards, they are the fifth seed. They went up there to the fourth seed, which was the division winner, Raptors. They went up there and they won the first two games up there in Toronto, and then came down to DC and won their last two games to sweep the series. Paul Pierce, I mean, you know what you're going to get from this guy. You know, he's like a Tim Duncan. He's going to give you what he can on that particular day, and hopefully you win on his A day, you know. And John Wall and his supporting cast completely showed up, and it was a team effort. And I was astonished to see that. And we're in for a treat, because they're going against the Hawks. And Hawks, Wizards doesn't sound like a blockbuster, you know. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a top seller. But let me tell you, if you're wanting to see some good basketball, that's going to be the series to watch. And an even series as well.
That's the good thing about round two, is that you'll get a lot of the lopsided, uneven matches out of the way. Just the other day, we saw two NBA teams go at it, and this is the top of the top, the cream of the crop, and you had a game where one team was down by almost 40 points, and the Raptors are gone, they're done. But to me, I was watching it, and I couldn't believe that you had two professional teams, and the deficit could be that huge, that lopsided, and I just thought, you shouldn't see this at the professional level. It's embarrassing.
Well, you shouldn't see this in the playoffs, for sure.
Right, right. Definitely not in the playoffs. And going back to a couple episodes back of the rundown, I really thought that the Raptors were a shoo-in to take out the Wizards. And again, I've been wrong consistently here, and I'll own up to it. And definitely, when I watched the Raptors go down in flames...
Go Pacers.
Go Pacers. That's another one I blew. Oi, it's not my season.
I did that too.
Hey... At least I didn't say go Knicks. You know, I never said the Knicks are a shoe-in for the playoffs. I never did say that. But it's a shame to see the Raptors, a team that shows so much promise. And it's a young team, but last year they were so exciting to watch. And even though they went out again, they were one and done, they were still very exciting to watch. It was such a nice contested series. This one was as lopsided as it could be. Yesterday just, I mean, talk about putting a nail in the coffin. So I'm really hoping that this next round, we're going to see, like you said, more even matches, more exciting games. Because as of right now, the only series that we've seen that's been completely divvied up evenly has been between the Spurs and the Clippers.
And that's right. And that is going to bring up to, you know, debate whether or not the way the teams are put together, the way these brackets are set up, you know, this Spurs-Clippers matchup shouldn't have happened until the second series, and it happened in the first series, and everybody else is going to be done and waiting for these guys to finish up to see who the Rockets are going to play, whether it's going to be the Spurs or whether it's going to be the Clippers. At this point, they're tied 2-2, and don't be surprised if they go 7. I mean, this is how evenly matched these guys are, and we're getting a treat to watch both of these teams go at it. Great coaches. And in one game, you might see great coaching from one side. And then the next game, you'll see a great game from a Hall of Fame player or a great coaching from another Hall of Fame. I mean, there's so many Hall of Famers on this particular series that we're getting ourselves a treat. And unfortunately, either the Spurs or the Clippers will be out by next week, by the next time we have this rundown. And who would have thought that?
One good thing is that I am seeing a little bit of vindication for myself. I've called a lot of stinkers that haven't gone my way, but I did say that I feel that Kawhi Leonard was definitely one of the rising stars that you have to keep your eye on and your ear. And not just because he's going to be maybe the franchise of the Spurs, but I said I felt he was going to be the next LeBron James or the next Kobe Bryant. And he was awarded the Defensive Player of the Year award. So I still believe that this is the guy who's going to be that type of caliber player. He's the guy that you're going to want to say, oh, I was watching him when he just started winning his championships. And we're going to go off from there.
That's right. And so, like you said, Kawhi Leonard, Defensive Player of the Year, is playing with great intensity. Unfortunately, some nights comes out and it's just him. So playing with that intensity. Warriors, Grizzlies, we got the Warriors, right? Nobody's going to slow them down, like you said.
Nobody's going to slow them down. Not till we get to the Eastern Conference.
And that was proven in Game 3 against the Pelicans. The Pelicans had a chance to take that game. They were up by 20 points in the second half, and they found a way, and maybe you don't find a way to lose against these guys, but they did, and certain things fell a certain way, and the Warriors took it into overtime with a Steph Curry 3, and then it was too much. I mean, the Warriors weren't going to lose that game once it went into overtime after coming down from being down 20 points.
How many people went to bed thinking, this is over, they're down by 20, we have about 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, the Warriors are going to live to fight another day? How many people turned that game off only to find out, wait, it went into overtime? Wait, the Warriors won? Once they made it to overtime and they had coughed up the 20-point lead, I said, you guys lost this one. You had it and you lost it.
Right.
It was definitely crushing. I wasn't rooting against the Warriors. Like a basketball fan, I want a lot of these to go past four games. Nobody wants to see sweeps. I don't want to see sweeps. I want to get as much basketball.
I know, and we had so many sweeps.
And I just wanted it to go to at least 5, 6. That's all I wanted. So I was reading just to prolong that series. I just like watching these guys play. I like to have a nice drawn-out playoff run. And once it was a sweep, I was like, oh, well, I guess we'll on to the next one.
Right. And one place that we're not getting any sweeps at all, or not as much as the NBA, is in the NHL, man. That playoff series are still going on. And your boys, man, the Blackhawks, they're playing the Flames now in the second round. So how do you feel about them? You think they're going to still win it all?
I'm banking on it. I know that we've got one of our faithful listeners who probably disagrees with me. He's rooting for the Ducks from Anaheim.
Yeah, that's right. And they just beat the Jets. And so they're in the second round. And they're playing the Flames in the next round. So the Ducks took out the Jets, and now they're playing the Flames. And thanks again to Ben for, you know, sounding off on the I Report. And top seeded, man, I don't know. Ben might be in a good place right now, and he might get himself that Stanley Cup, man. His team might get that for him.
Well, it's definitely exciting when your team's doing that well. Certainly, hockey is such a contested sport, and everybody always says that it's the best playoffs that you can watch, better than basketball, better than football. So hockey fans always argue that point, so I think we're seeing evidence of that for sure.
Yeah, and it's the Wild that is facing your Blackhawks. So we'll see, and a lot of these are just getting started, and so we'll see where they end up.
I think the Blackhawks ultimately will be able to pull it off. I'm hoping. It's been a couple years since they've won it, so I remember when they did, it was very exciting, and a lot of people weren't expecting them to make it that far, let alone win it. So I think that this might be the year to do it again.
Right. We'll see what all that ends up in the NHL. In soccer news, we haven't covered soccer in a while, JDR, and I think it is a world sport, so we should probably do that, huh? The Champions League in Europe, the semifinals have been determined. It's going to be Real Madrid, the defending champions, and yours truly pick to win it all again. They're going to be playing Juventus from Italy. And we have Barcelona, who is going to play Bayern. So it's set up, man. These are the four teams that are going to try and get that Champions League. And four of the best teams in the world, definitely, are going to be fighting it out to try and get that Champions League title. Do you have any one that you're rooting for on these?
Bayern Munich all the way.
Ah, that's right. And the German team that's running away with their local league has a very good chance. They beat Porto, El Porto from Portugal. And they actually, so you play two games. You play the first leg and then you go back to the other team's country in their stadium and you play the second leg. And in the first leg, they played in Portugal and Porto won 3-1. And that was a shocker. And everybody was, well, not everybody. They were expecting that to be the biggest, you know, surprise. But Bayern Munich came back. Yeah, they went back to Germany and they won 6-0 the next game. And it was not even close. It was not good. They were 6-0 at the close to the end of the game. So they definitely turned that thing around and got into the semifinals. Barcelona really has not had much of a challenge. They beat PSG from France, and they beat them kind of, I mean, Barcelona just had too much firepower for that PSG, even though PSG really tried and really worked hard, but it's just, you know, Barcelona was too much.
That was definitely a shame to watch, because Paris Saint-Germain is definitely one of those teams that's always in the top tier worldwide. So I don't think a lot of us were expecting it to go that way. Certainly I wasn't.
You know, talent-wise, pound for pound, Barcelona does have what they call the best player in the world and one of the best players in the world for sure, and Leo Messi. So that kind of ace that you have on the field really just throws everything else across. But Luis Suarez really took that first game and just kind of put it away, because in Paris Saint-Germain, they won 3-1. And so they had to come back to Spain and win by that same score or win by more. And it just didn't happen. And PSG really tried. And I don't think they have the talent. A lot of them were hurt that are kind of, you know, their starters weren't all in. And so I think that they have the team. They're just probably missing maybe one or two pieces to put them over the top to try and get that Champions League. Real Madrid beat Atletico de Madrid, finally 1-0, with something that we'll discuss later on the technical foul. And Juventus, they beat a Paris team, Monaco, to get into the semifinals. And Juventus is loaded as well, but they're also playing in a league that is not very competitive right now. There's a lot of problems going on where teams can't pay their players. And so the quality of play has really gone down in Italy. And I mean, they're running away with their title, and not because they're playing really great soccer. It's just because there's no competition right now.
I remember FC Milan was one of those teams that has resorted to borrowing money from the government just to keep the facilities going, just to be able to play the game. Nobody's getting paid. This is just to keep day-to-day operations going. And growing up, the Italian Serie A soccer was the best soccer you could watch worldwide. So for me, it's pretty heartbreaking to see how they've declined so fast like this. It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. So that's kind of set up to be the, that is the setup for the semifinals. I think it's really good. So they kind of set it up to where they're going to have El Clásico. If Real Madrid wins and Barcelona wins, they're going to have Real Madrid versus Barcelona for the Champions League, which is a money maker. That right there is like if we would have had that money and Manny Pacquiao fight 5 years ago. That's how big this would be. And I think that's what the Champions League coordinators are aiming for. So go Real Madrid. And, you know, the Barcelona, Bayern Munich will also be a classic, because those two teams are playing at a very high level right now. So watch out for that one.
Go Thomas Müller.
Yeah, and hopefully Robin comes back soon. He's been hurt, and he might be back in mid-May, so he might be, if they get to the final, he'll be available for them to the final. He's actually my favorite player from there. But yeah, that's the Champions League. Watch out for that. Great soccer coming up very soon.
Definitely can't forget about the MLS.
No, not at all. And that's still going on right now. And they got a long season to go. So, I mean, Orlando City is doing really good as an expansion team. And so is the New York City Football Club as well. They're doing really good. They're on the top tier of the team. So we'll see if they can keep it up and they can be in the playoffs. And that would be quite a sight to see those two teams making it into the playoffs and bringing soccer to Florida, you know, and more soccer to New York. So that's always going to be good. But we're going to go to a short break, and we'll be right back with the technical files of the week and a couple other things that we got lined up. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Hope Pobenmeyer, host of the What's Up podcast. If you're interested in audiobooks, ebooks, or movies, Saratech has an all-new podcast just for you. Check out the What's Up podcast. We tell you what's up in audiobooks from Audible, books and magazines from Bard, and ebooks on Kindle. If you're not into books, that's okay too. Check out What's Up on Samnet, where we let you know what's up in all the newest described content. To listen to the What's Up podcast, go to whatsup.saratalk.com or use your iBlink app.
All right, guys, we're back. And again, we'd like to thank Ben for submitting his iReport. And he let us know that the Ducks had beat the Jets and continued on to the next round in the NHL. And also, he had also mentioned, talked a little bit about Tim Tebow and how much he felt that Tim Tebow being with the Eagles was going to put the Eagles over the top and get them to finally win that Super Bowl that escaped the Eagles for so long that they haven't been able to get that first one. So that's how he feels. He feels like Tim Tebow is a great guy, and that if Tim Tebow has the ball, he'll be able to bring Chip Kelly and the Eagles a Super Bowl ring.
I don't think the Eagles will be able to win any Super Bowls till they elevate the statue of William Penn. For those of you that aren't familiar with that curse, Philadelphia Eagles fans believe that their football team has been cursed ever since Skyscrapers passed the statue of William Penn in Philadelphia, and they believe that that's jinxing them from ever achieving greatness. So maybe that'll be the first thing that Tim Tebow can do, is just put like a little statuette atop the highest building in Philly, see if that does anything.
That should be, we'll see, man. I mean, that's, you know, Ben feels that way, and, you know, nobody's questioning the fact that Tim Tebow's a heck of a guy. We love watching him when he was playing with the Broncos, and just the way that his religion is so close to him and he lives day by day through that, and more power to him. But and again, no knock on him. It's just, we're just scratching our head as far as what are the Eagles doing. But, you know, that's something we discussed last week on the rundown.
The dude is great. He can't throw. That's all he has to do. If he can work on his throws and start connecting with completions, he'll be great, because he's incredibly mobile. And right now, quarterbacks aren't very mobile anymore. So all he has to do is just become that throwing quarterback. A lot of his plays he made with his legs, and that's great. But you can't do that in the NFL anymore. I would say the only guy that can do it to the form that it's an asset is Russell Wilson. So I want to see him succeed. I really do. It won't be with Philadelphia, though. I'm hoping that they give him a chance to where he can really just showcase his abilities and say, I don't need to be gone. I can still do it. I just don't think it'll be with the Eagles. But I felt he should have stayed with the Broncos. Of course, they got Peyton Manning after he left. So
Broncos are doing all right. They're doing all right.
Right. They'll be fine without Tim Tebow. But he's very...
How about with the Texans, man? The Texans, huh?
Oh.
Tim Tebow with the Texans.
We have Ryan Mallett and we have Brian Hoyer. But I have my doubts about Hoyer. But I really do think Tim Tebow, like I said, watching him when the Broncos weren't expected to do anything, he took them to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. He did it with his legs, though. And you can't do that. Robert Griffin III has proven that once they take your legs out of you, you can't do it anymore. If you can't complete those passes, there's nothing that you can do for yourself as a quarterback. So I'm hoping that he improves his passing, and he may be the dynamite quarterback that Philadelphia has been missing. Although, if you listen to last week's episode of The Rundown, I felt they already had that quarterback and they traded him away. You traded cows for beans.
That's right.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. And that leads us to the technical fouls of the week. So JDR, take it away. Who are you going to tee up this week?
At this point, this should be technical number 3. So my man Floyd Money Mayweather should definitely be ejected by now.
Yeah, he was ejected last week. Yeah, going 2 in a row.
As I'm recording this, I'm looking over my shoulders to see if he's behind me. Is he behind me?
I know.
Okay. So my technical of the week goes to Floyd Mayweather, but for an entirely different reason than what he did last week. He was being interviewed about his past problems with domestic violence. And for those of you that don't know, he has received a conviction for spousal abuse. And there's been several other instances where he's been either accused or he's actually had to face legal proceedings in relation to spousal abuse. So domestic violence is an issue for him. So he was asked if he thinks it's fair that he has not yet been penalized by the Boxing Commission, the World Boxing Commission, which is the leading boxing authority in the sport. He was asked how he felt about the fact that he had not been penalized because of his past problems. And he responded with, "Well, I hope everybody watches the fight on May 2nd. It's going to be a great one and you don't want to miss it." And he was asked several more questions and he completely dodged it as far as answering the questions about who he is as a media attraction, as a hero to kids everywhere. He completely ignored them. The only thing he said that was of some merit or some substance was that he was thankful to be in the position where he is right now, where he can be fighting in such a big match on pay-per-view, which is projected to be the top grossing pay-per-view ever in boxing history. But that's the only mention he made of it. So I wanted to tee him up because I felt that he could have answered it a lot better, because whether I disagree with it or agree with it, he is a role model to kids and he is one of the top athletes in the world. So I feel that he definitely has a responsibility to address these situations and his past experiences and past mistakes. And he didn't. He completely just ignored it as if it's funny or as if it doesn't deserve him acknowledging it. So I felt it was a botched chance that he had to really do some good. If he really is repentant of his past actions or if he really does feel that contrition is needed, he could have used this as an opportunity to say, "Hey, I've made some mistakes in my life, but I'm at a different point." Anything. And he completely just blew it off. And I've always said that your personal life should definitely be kept off the field. And I myself feel that you shouldn't have your kids looking up to athletes, because at the end of the day, they're people. They're not role models. They're not playing so that you can emulate them. They're playing because it's their job or they like the sport, nothing else. But the reality is that I'm in the minority and kids do look up to Floyd Mayweather. And he does, whether he likes it or not, have a responsibility to live up to that. And that's why I've teed him up for the third time and I'm still looking over my shoulder. Don't see him, but wow. There we go. It is what it is.
3 times, man. Wow, 3 technicals. I don't know, man. He's going to get suspended for a fight because, you know, we got to see what the boxing authority says about this, because 3 technicals in a row from JDR. He's not afraid, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I'm confident.
So tell us, you haven't even told us who's going to win this fight.
I still think it'll be Mayweather. He's won so many close fights by decision. And like anything in boxing, we all know it's going to be Mayweather Pacquiao 2, Mayweather Pacquiao 3. It's not going to just be this one. So he'll probably win the first one. Pacquiao will win the second one. And the third one will be the end all. But that's just my theory.
Man, you're just picking on money, man. You're just picking on money now. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But anyway, there's JDR's technical foul of the week, and a great one, by the way. I believe in that, too. But I think we're way beyond that, you know, especially since we allow the ability not to answer those questions. I think it's become acceptable whenever you have Marshawn Lynch make a joke out of press conferences and every the last couple of years with the NFL Super Bowl, you know. And so ever since then, it's become I don't have to do it, you know? I don't have to do it if I don't want to. And before, I think we had a lot more where you took responsibility for your actions. And I think that that's kind of been taken away, that you don't have to do that anymore. Don't worry about that. As long as you perform, then you're going to be all right. And so, you know, I think we're kind of losing that accountability, if you may. So
who's your technical of the week?
My technical foul of the week goes to Chicharito Hernandez. Javier Hernandez is a Mexican soccer player, currently plays with Real Madrid, was brought in on loan this year from Manchester United. He was brought in to back up Benzema and also Gareth Bale. So he hasn't gotten much playing time because those guys haven't let up. You know, they've been playing at a very high level. Injuries have come about, as they always do, towards the end of the season. And guess what? Here we are, an opportunity for Chicharito to prove all the things that he's been talking about, that he went earlier. It was mid-March when Mexico was playing in the U.S., started talking to certain publications about that it's not what he thought it was going to be, that he's extremely disappointed, and, you know, he never gets an opportunity, things like that. He comes out, and injuries happen, and he starts getting an opportunity to play. He played in the Champions League, where they finally beat Atletico Madrid, and he scores a goal. Great, right? And that's the goal that puts Real Madrid over the top. The play was made by James, and Cristiano Ronaldo left kind of like a little layup there for Chicharito. Now, big thing though, I'll give him this. You still have to put him in, right? You still have to score the shot. Even if they give you, you know, an easy shot, you still have to put it in. He did. Give him that. No criticism there. The criticism comes about Cristiano Ronaldo, huge player, doesn't make a big deal about one goal. Doesn't matter where. He Champions League champion makes a big deal about that. La Liga champion makes a big deal about that. You're supposed to. Big players are for big games and for big things. And they're to come through for that. James, big time player. Whenever there needs to be a play done, he does it. And he figures out a way to score. And he figures out a way to defend. What does Chicharito do? Chicharito scores this goal and acts as if this goal is for the championship. Acts as if this goal has won Mexico or whatever team he's playing for the World Cup. And that, to me, if you want to talk about big players, if you want to talk or if you want to look at yourself like a top world player, then you don't get excited, or not that you don't get excited, but you don't act this way when you score one goal in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And he left the field, he was in tears, he went over to Keylor Navas, fell into his arms, into his shoulder, and was crying, and too much, too much. You want to be considered with the big guys? You want to play with the big boys? You want to play with James? You want to play with Cristiano Ronaldo? You want to be in the same sentence as Luis Suarez? You want to be in the same sentence as Neymar? And not many people are in the same sentence as Messi, but you want to be considered with them? You don't celebrate a goal like that. You don't do it, man. And that's my thing. Like, if he scores that goal and Real Madrid wins La Liga, then there's big difference there. But they weren't. And it wasn't even close. And that is my technical of the week. If you want to be a champion, if you want to be considered with the top guys, act like them. You can't be doing this, man.
Wow, harsh criticism for Javier Chicharito.
Yeah.
I don't know that I agree with that. I love the fact that he is like that, because I believe it's always appropriate to have your own personal goals and your own personal achievements. So I would have done the same thing. If it had taken me forever to get to this point, to go from not knowing if your career is over because you can't get any playing time in Manchester, then you find yourself in another world caliber team and you're still not able to play, and you finally get your chance and you score, and because of you they advanced into the next round, I would have been pretty psyched too.
But when does it become about you and when it is about the team? And that's what it is, man. I mean, it was all about him. The spotlight was on me. I scored the goal. You're not going to get much respect from your teammates if that's what you're doing. And that all became about him. And it wasn't about the team. He wasn't celebrating with the guys. That, I guess, was a bigger issue. And it's going to reflect. People are saying that after his performance, you know, he came out the next game and he scored a couple of goals. And the thing is, we're in a situation to where if a Mexican player scores a goal, we want to jump up and down about it and get excited about it when we shouldn't be. We should expect that. But no, he scores one goal, two goals. It's like, well, whoopee. But we should expect that playing. And that's the thing. Like, he should expect to score those goals. That's why he shouldn't respond like that. He should expect to do that if he wants to be considered at the same level as Cristiano Ronaldo, as James, as Luis Suarez, as these guys, man. But, you know, you hope he'll learn, and I don't think he's going to stay with Real Madrid. I don't think they're going to offer him a longer contract there. I think he should go to a place where he can play every single game, and that it's going to be back in the Premier League, where I think he can really be utilized a lot more. It's a faster pace, and I think that that's better for him than the Spaniard League right now.
Well, we'll see what Manchester wants to do.
Yeah, it's up to them, and we'll see if they want to. Maybe they'll keep him there. Maybe they'll keep him back in Manchester United. So we'll see what happens there. And that was our technical fouls of the week, and that is actually the show. So if you guys want to sound off about anything that we went over this week, go ahead and do it on the iBlink Radio app. Submit your iReport, or go ahead and find us on Twitter or Facebook. We're always on there, and we're always talking about the different things that are going on. Usually it's been throughout the weekend, because that's whenever there's so much sports going on. But we're on there, and we would love to hear from you. So again, sound off and let us know what you think about that. And if you guys have any suggestions, make sure to let us know about that as well. This has been the rundown for this week here on the Sarah Talk Podcast Network. JDR's not going to be running. He's going to stand his ground, even though he's been picking on money. I don't know how smart that is. But hey, he is voicing his opinion. And we'll be there watching the fight and be rooting on. Both of us are going to be rooting on money. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, my name is AZ.
And I am JDR.
And we'll see you guys next week. What happened to believe that?